The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. But who can understand one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Also keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Mel was just about to come and read to us the Hebrew Bible lesson, but I just wanted to call your attention. The image on the front I selected as what I think is a wonderful illustration of Psalm 19. So perhaps this week you could go open your Bible, read that, and look at this. Anybody know where this is? Yeah, you guys are Coloradans. The Maroon Bells outside of Aspen. There truly is God's glory all around us.
The reading from the Hebrew Bible is found on page 691 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 4-5. It can be found starting on page 201 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Hear these words. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whatever the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, enduring suffering. Do the work of the evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. The word of God for the people of God.
For our gospel lesson, we continue in the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. You can find this in the New Testament of your Pew Bible on page 76, the bottom of the left column there. Hear these words. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I made mention of it earlier in our announcements. I want to remind you, in the United Methodist Church today, this Sunday, October 17th, has been designated Laity Sunday. And I just, as I was thinking about this, it struck me. Do you know what laity is? It's kind of a crazy word. I don't know why we have to have such distinctions, but in the United Methodist Church, well, in all churches, there are clergy, which is someone who is licensed or ordained toward ministry, and there's everybody else, and that everybody else is laity. That's you. So today is Laity Sunday. Now, apparently, in our church, on this one Sunday, we are supposed to celebrate the contributions of the laity within the United Methodist Church. Now, don't get me wrong. This is a very important thing to do, to celebrate the work of the laity in our church. But it ought to be more than a one Sunday approach. It strikes me a little like saying that for human life, breathing oxygen is optional. Without breathing, life cannot exist. Without the laity, the church cannot exist. It is that simple. Having said that,
I also wonder if we in the church don't collectively sell the laity short. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, according to our theology, our polity, the clergy person may be the pastor, but all of us are ministers of the good news of Jesus Christ, and we're teachers about what it means to be in God's kingdom. Now, do you see yourself as a minister in the church? Well, Jesus sees you that way, and I pray that you do too. Collectively, we affirm that when you are baptized by God, you are recognized as a child of God and you're welcomed into the priesthood of all believers. We affirm that the mission of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, our book of discipline doesn't say that that's the job of the clergy exclusively, but rather each of us are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ and ministers of his holy word. Each of us is called to go beyond the walls of this church to be a missionary people who demonstrate the unconditional love of Jesus Christ in real and tangible ways. Each of us has a unique calling from God, and each of us has a different job in the church. My job is to take care of preaching and teaching the Bible, consecrating and celebrating the sacraments, caring for the spiritual needs of the congregation, and overseeing the administration of the church. But you know what the bottom line is? I'll tell you. I cannot serve God and God's people without your help. Laity is great. I can show up on any given Sunday. I can turn on the lights. I can light the candles myself. I can preach until I go hoarse. I can think deep theological thoughts. But without each of you and all of you, there is no church. You are a minister and a missionary in the Church of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. So what does that mean? Well, I pray that it means that you will take this role and this ministry very personally and very seriously. I pray that you will hear the Bible with new ears, that you'll begin to think theologically, and that you will see the world through the eyes of a true Christian person. It means that you are the eyes and the ears, the hands and the feet, the heart and the voice of Jesus Christ to this world. And that's a big deal indeed. You are a minister and a missionary in the Church of Jesus Christ. So, if that's the truth, hear these words anew. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. That's your charge. Now, the message continues, and as you listen to the following words written in the first century, I wonder if you believe that these are applicable to the description of our situation in 2010. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Do you see that in 2010? Do you see folks who are not putting up with sound doctrine, but rather are looking for their own teachings? Now, this call to ministry doesn't mean that you have to go out tomorrow morning to thump your Bible and preach at the top of your lungs about hellfire and brimstone. Yeah, I might see you on Colfax Avenue. If so, I'll come by. That may not be your style, and it may not be your calling. It's certainly not mine. But I believe that each of us has the responsibility of listening to God and working to discern what it is that God wants you to do in ministry. Each of us has a role to play in helping to share God's holy word. Each of us has a role to play in God's church and in God's kingdom. So many of you have already taken this call seriously and have become involved in many of our programs and ministries. Think about what that means. Serving on a church leadership committee, teaching a Sunday school or small group class, singing in the choir, participating in the United Methodist Women or United Methodist Men, volunteering to help with our youth group, donating money and walking in today's Aurora Crop Hunger Walk, planting trees in the Interfaith Peace Forest, writing notes or visiting people in our homebound ministry. This list goes on and on of ways that you can be doing God's work. Think about it frankly. You may not be comfortable with the fact that you are a minister and a missionary in the Church of Jesus Christ. So if that's the case, where do you go from here? You don't need to be afraid or embarrassed or hesitant. What you do need to do is to trust in God and to turn over your concerns to Jesus. And you need to pray. Hear these words from Luke's gospel with new ears. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. That may well be the best advice that I can offer you any day, including today. No matter what happens to you, do not lose heart and pray always to the Lord. My brothers and sisters, let us pray. Dear Jesus, give me strength and confidence to follow you, to listen to your holy word, and to respond as you lead me. Amen.